It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, and I'm still sitting in the driver's seat. I was sitting in there a while ago when it went on my Facebook page instead of The Rock. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad, and it's been giving us fits this morning. You know, the enemy, Casey and I were just talking about this, the enemy tries to throw a monkey wrench in the middle of things, but God is able.
God is able.
God is able.
Amen. Casey. I like that movie, Groundhog Day.
Casey Elliott is our guest this morning. We appreciate so much our guests coming in time after time, month after month, and sharing the word with our listeners. And we know from people that have given us feedback that we have people all over the world that listen to this program. And they may not be able to listen at 9 o'clock, but because it's on Facebook, they can go back and watch it at a different time. And we appreciate technology.
That's how it is.
99% of the time. That other 1% is when it's going south.
Yeah, the monkey wrenches.
The monkey wrenches, right.
Amen. I thank God for it being on Facebook, too, because there's sometimes I can't watch it right at 9 because I'm teaching class, but I always go on my lunch hour and listen to it.
Right. Our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries. For some reason, I was thinking he was Wednesday, but it's just the opposite. Okay. Yeah. Prophetic Voice Ministries. And you've been one of our sponsors for quite a while now, maybe a little over a year or something like that. So we appreciate all of our sponsors. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page. And about halfway through the program, we'll stop and pray for those needs. We are getting just started a few minutes late, so it'll be about probably 20 minutes till 10 before we stop to do the prayer request this morning. Because we'll probably run about till 10 after 10 this morning, if you can stay that long,
Amen.
Since we're late getting started. I think I've said everything. I think I've covered everything. We do record in two parts, and we couldn't post it on our website for a couple of or about a week, I guess, wasn't it, Monica? We thought we had some issue there, but it wasn't really our issue. It was an issue at the radio station. They needed to clean out the disc so it wouldn't take any more programs, theirs or ours.
Oh, wow.
So we're still kind of attached at the umbilical cord to the radio station. And praise God for the years that they've sown into this ministry also.
Amen.
So, okay, will you pray to start us out?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you that even when the enemy tries to throw a monkey wrench in what you're doing, God, that you're still faithful when we persevere, God, and when we keep moving forward, God. We decree and declare that no weapon formed against this ministry shall prosper. And, Lord, we just thank you for those that are listening today. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, something that's spoken today, God, will just reach out and touch them, God, right where they're at, God. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise, the glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, your title today is?
He Hasn't Left You.
He Hasn't Left You. He never leaves us, does he?
He never leaves us.
Yeah, he's promised that.
It might feel like it sometimes. Amen. I believe we've all had one of those moments like, where are you, God? Where are you? You know, and even the enemy will ask you, oh, well, where's God at?
Uh-huh.
You know, where's this God that you, you know, talk about? Where's he at? But he knows where he's at. He's right there by us.
That's right.
And so I want to start off in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know, I love this scripture because it reminds us that we do have an adversary out there. And that we, as Christians, we have to be on our toes. We have to be vigilant at all times. And so it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. You know, and that's, you know, so many times when we're going through something, we feel like we're the only ones going through, you know, and, you know, one of the questions we always ask, why me, God? You know, why is this going on? It only seems like it happens to me. Nobody else is going through, you know, this. And, you know, sometimes one of the things about Christians is we have that, I don't know if you call it an understanding, but we have to act like we have it all together all the time. And so a lot of Christians will put on a fake smile, you know, to make it look like everything's going good when really, you know, they're going through what everybody else is going through. And
I call that a faith it till you make it smile.
Yeah, yeah. Make it till you make it.
Faith it till you make it.
Yeah. You know, and I'll have people, I'll say, how are you doing? And they're like, oh, good. And I'll say, now, tell me how you're really doing. You know, and then they'll, you know, they'll start letting you know how it really is. But, you know, just because we go through things don't make us any less, you know, Christian. Because, you know, the Bible says we are going to go through things. We're going to go through trials and tribulations. Verse 10 says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And so, you know, what an awesome promise that, you know, we may go through some things for a little while, but guess what? God's going to be the one to restore us back.
And stay up close to your microphone. You're not picking up very good.
All right. And, but he's there, you know, whenever we're going through. And, you know, another promise for that, we're going to look at some promises, then we're going to look at some examples. But Isaiah chapter 43 says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. How awesome is that? That he claims us. You know, he says, you're mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Wow. And so right here he tells us, when you pass through the waters, guess what? I'm going to be right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to overtake you. And so, you know, a lot of people say he'll never give you more than you can bear. You know, that's not word for word verbatim in the Bible anywhere.
Mm-mm.
But I think this is where one of the places they get that at is because you can be going through all those things, but guess what? It ain't going to overtake you. It's not going to destroy you. It's not going to, you know, be your ending. But he says that I will be with you when you go through those things. And so, you know, and I think sometimes we have to remember that, you know, when we're going through things, like we said, sometimes we're like, you know, where are you, God? You know, where were you? And, you know, you'll hear people, when there's bad things going on, they'll say, where was God in all this? Where was God? You know, and, you know, but the answer is he's right there. He was right there with us. And thank God for that. I want to look at a couple examples for that. And the first one, a couple of the examples are coming out of Daniel this morning. I want to look at Daniel chapter 3. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 60 cubits wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officers to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provisional officers assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and people of every language, that is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. You know, even today, people have so many things that they want to, you know, they want you to worship. You know, we had back when I was at the other church I used to go to, we had a man from India that came. And, you know, he was really getting into the things of God, but, you know, he kept saying, my life ain't going right, my life ain't going right. So we said we're going to come to his house. And as soon as we walk in his house, and he takes us in his bedroom, and there's all these Hindu pictures and posters of Hindu gods and different things that he would do the rituals with. So he was trying to be faithful to his heritage, and then also try to be a follower of God. And you know, at first we were, at first I was like, you know, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? But you know, that's what he knew. That's what he knew. And you know, there's so many people that are misled. You know, like you said, the gentleman that was on yesterday that left the comment. You know, at first I was like, wow. But you know, we have over at the prison where I work at, we have people that are of Muslim faith. You know, and they'll sit there and tell me, you know, well, we serve the same God. Y'all just call him God, and we call him Allah. And I'm like, no, no. And I'll say, well, is Jesus your Savior? No. Well, then we don't serve the same God. And so, but everybody wants, everybody has something, you know, that they want us to, that they want you to worship. And, you know, just like here he says, you know, you, whenever you hear these sounds, you will bow down and worship. And, you know, then he gives orders. He said, whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. You know, and I think we're living in a time today where, you know, there even Christians are finding it hard to stand on what they know, what they believe, what the word says. You know, there's a lot of things, and that goes back to wanting to please man instead of pleasing God, being afraid of man instead of, you know, fearing God. But there's so many things that even believers today are tolerating. They're, you know, they're tolerating their, you know, oh, we can't judge them. Oh, we can't, you know, we can't come against them. We can't, you know, but my Bible says if it's not pleasing to God, it shouldn't be pleasing to us. And so, but you know, there's so many, you know, threats just like this. And, you know, we're not being threatened to be thrown into a furnace, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, accept this or else, but, you know, threats of consequences. But it said, therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and people of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. And they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. And so, you know, that's what God's looking for even today. You know, believers that will stand up for what's right.
Well, one of the issues is that so many of the believers don't have enough of the word in them until they are basically bankrupt.
Yeah.
So they don't know how to stand up because they haven't got this word in them enough.
Yeah.
They may go to church pretty regular. They may go every Sunday. So they hear the word for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The end.
The end.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking back about the disgusting stuff on TV so many times, like the halftime at Super Bowl the other evening. It's ridiculous.
I didn't even watch it.
Well, we usually watch it. We like the commercials, but we couldn't even understand. Most of the commercials weren't even good this year.
Yeah. I recorded it. I just haven't gone back and watched.
Well, there was a couple of commercials we thought were good, but the biggest majority of them, we couldn't even get what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And then the halftime show was absolutely, the only thing that was, you know, kind of good about it, I guess, was looking at the coordination and thinking behind the scenes about all it took to put that together.
Yeah.
That was what Joe and I looked at, basically,
yeah,
was that. But I just fast-forwarded. I fast-forwarded through it, just catching a glimpse of maybe each different singer or whatever, but terrible.
Yeah.
And if this is supposed to be the best ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I think they say that every year.
Yeah, right.
Keeps getting worse and worse.
It does.
Yeah. But, you know, you're exactly right. It's that there's a lot of believers that don't have a firm foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're, you know, their foundation that they had, you know, crumbles, you know, and then they'll, you know, they'll believe anything, tolerate anything, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, we have to be, careful who we listen to, what we listen to. And, you know, we have to get the word in us
right.
to know if it's, of God or not. But it says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? And now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. So here he's going to give him another chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, I'm going to report that you're not following my directions concerning my gods. And notice there's a key word right there, that God has an S on it, gods.
Mm-hmm.
There is but one God. And so he says, you know what, I'm going to give y'all one more chance. I'm going to give y'all another chance. And, you know, that's how the enemy does a lot of times too. You know, he'll come at us and, you know, if we don't respond, he'll say, hey, you know what, I'm going to give you, you know, he'll come back around with it again, always ready, you know, to give you another chance. And, you know, so, you know, not only do we have to stand, but we have to continue to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And, it says, then what God will be able to rescue from my hand? Then it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. And so, it says that the fire was so hot that it burned the ones that were putting them in the fire. You know, and I heard the Lord say that. He said, you know, there's people right now that, you know, they want to put us in a fire, you know, if we don't line up with their ways, if we don't do like they do. But the Lord said that, you know, if we stand on him, if we stand on his promise, the very ones that want to throw us in the fire, they're going to be burned by the very fire that they want to throw us into. And so, you know, when we're going through things, we may feel the quote unquote heat. And it may get hot, but guess what? God's going to take care of you. And it says, then Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw the fire? Wasn't there three of them? And they replied, certainly, your majesty. And he said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the Son of God.
Hmm.
And the fourth looks like the Son of God. No matter what you're going through, you know, the Bible says he will not leave us nor forsake us. Even when you're going through things and you don't feel like you can hear him, you don't feel like you can see him, you don't feel like you can feel him, guess what? He's right there in that fire with you.
Hmm.
mm-hmm. right there in that fire with you. And Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted,
Shadrach, Meshach,
and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. And they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except for their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Wow.
And, you know, sometimes, I would say sometimes we go through things and it ain't for us. You know, sometimes we go through things for other people. And, look how all of a sudden Nebuchadnezzar was going to throw them into the fire for not worshiping his God. But because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood the true God, showed Nebuchadnezzar the truth. And, I think about the man that was on yesterday and left that comment
mm-hmm.
about Allah, Allah being the only true God. I pray, like you said, I pray that yesterday and today, I pray that he start tuning in every day and that he hears a word, that the true God reveal himself over his gods.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
now, in case you didn't listen yesterday, he wasn't on our program. He left two comments.
Yeah, he left two comments. Yeah.
Well, it was the same comment twice for some reason.
Yeah.
But anyway, was amazing. As I've said before, this program can and does go all around the world.
Yep.
He's from the Philippines.
Yep.
I looked on his Facebook page.
Oh, wow. I wondered where he was from.
Yeah. Well, I looked up the place that he lives. Uh-huh. And the college he went to, it was in the Philippines.
Wow. Yeah. going to Daniel chapter 6. It says, "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." And that's why we have to continue to live our life righteous day by day, because the enemy's always accusing, always trying to find ways to find fault, like they were with Daniel. And so they came to the realization, we will never have basis for charges unless it has something to do with his God. And so the administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue and the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered. In accordance with the law of Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward the Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asked God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? And the king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is the one exiled from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. And when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and make every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went to a group of King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. And so you notice here, you know, this group that came, that wanted, you know, to take care of Daniel, you know, they came to the king and said, oh, you know, hail the king, you know, hey, you know, you should issue this decree that, you know, everybody must bow down and worship you. And, you know, so the king says, oh, okay. Well, then they remind him, hey, you can't change this once you make it. The king really liked Daniel. You know, he didn't want to, when he found out it was Daniel, he really didn't want to do that. But then they reminded him, hey, you know, this can't be changed. Your decree can't be altered. It can't be changed. And, you know, I think about the king that, you know, when he asked the little girl what she wanted, and she said, I want the head of John the Baptist, you know, and it anguished that king so much, but he had to follow what he decreed and declared. And so, you know, but here the king says, may the God you serve rescue you. And a stone was brought in place over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near, so, you know, you think about this king, he was up all night. You know, what have I done? You know, why did I agree to this? You know, now I had to do it. You know, and I think there's some people out there, the same thing. You know, they want to, you know, they want to throw us in the lion's den. They want to, you know, they just want us to be destroyed. But God's going to move in a way to where, you know, they change, they have a change of heart in that. And so they're not only, you know, they may throw us in the den, but guess what? Then they're going to be up all night praying for our safety and that we wouldn't be harmed. And Daniel said, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before your majesty. And so, by all accounts, what we know through, you know, natural knowledge and wisdom, you know, when you go to the zoo, you don't, you know, they have those barriers and stuff for a reason, you know, and they have those lions in cages for a reason because, you know, if you just step in there, guess what? They're going to eat you for lunch. And so, and so the king knew this. And so, you know, the king's sitting there thinking, oh man, what have I done? You know, when we go in the morning to roll that stone away, Daniel's not going to be there. Them lions are going to done have him for dinner and a snack and everything in between. And, but he prayed for the protection. And, you know, that's the awesome thing is that God, God supersedes the natural knowledge and wisdom. And, so when they rolled the, stone away, you know, the king said, you know, Daniel, you know, real cautiously wondering, you know, wanting to hear a reply, but not knowing if he would. And then Daniel responded, you know, here I am. And, you know, Daniel wasn't in that lion's den alone. Just like Meshach, Meshach and Abednego, they weren't in that fire alone. Daniel wasn't in that den alone. Jesus was in there with him, you know, keeping him safe. And, you know, that's just, you know, what God wants people to know. You are not alone. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. No matter what you go through, he's right there with you. Mm-hmm. And says, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Mm. So they didn't even, Daniel didn't even have a scratch on him. Wasn't even touched. And then the ones that wanted to take him out didn't even reach the floor before the lions attacked him. That's the God that we serve.
Amen.
That's the God that we serve. It says, then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and reign of Cyrus and Persian. And so, you know, in both situations, you know, with Nebuchadnezzar, God revealed himself. And all of a sudden, you know, Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, y'all don't worship my image no more. Let's worship, you know, their God. And the same thing here. You know, the king says, fear and reverence the God of Daniel, because he's the living God. He endures forever, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. And so, you know, if you hold fast to God, if you continue to stand, God's going to come and show your adversaries who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and in the process, guess what? He's not going to leave you nor forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Are we ready for a break?
I do have some prayer requests that have come in. And just want to throw this out for thinking about the lion's den. You know, anybody that listens on a regular basis knows what we've gone through with Joe and his health since last summer. But God... they told us at the hospital in August, you know, call in hospice, da 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 da. Here he is 6 months later. He's out every day doing some work of some sort. He's up and at him. He's not, he hasn't got as much energy and strength as he once did, but he's 83.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see his demeanor. We believe he's healed. Even though they said it was stage 4 cancer and it was just a matter of time, we believe our God has healed him.
Amen.
And I just think, as my mom used to say, the proof's in the pudding. Yeah. You know, he hasn't just laid in bed and dwindled away. He feels like getting up. And sometimes he doesn't feel like doing some things, not because he feels sick or hurts particularly. He doesn't have as much energy as he did. But God. Period. But God. And I see Judy Wells is tuned in for just a minute this morning, maybe just a minute. But her husband is another one of those examples who God has brought through an amazing last year of people not believing that he was ever going to be able to walk again or anything. Mm-hmm. And she does an update every once in a while on Facebook. And it's just amazing how God has been with them through those trials and the lion's den, you know, right? So, okay, that's my 2 cents worth. No extra charge for that today.
Amen.
We want to pray for the family of Rebecca Ramsey, who went to her final home last Friday. And then the family of Marie Norfleet, who went to be with the Lord yesterday. Now, I'm going to ask our listeners to pray for Judy Tracy, who is our... person in our church or Roger Mills County, not just our church, who sends prayer requests out all the time for different people. Well, she wasn't in church Sunday, which is very unusual, especially since we were having Super Bowl Sunday where everybody brought a big pan of soup. So I asked Dale where Judy was, and he said she had been experiencing so much pain in one of her shoulders that she just could not navigate. Well, she has not sent a prayer request out for herself, but I just want us to pray for her this morning because she's a really busy, busy woman who takes care of so many things in our church, plus sending the prayer requests out. And I want to address that. And then also, Judy Wells says, please continue to keep Roy in your prayers. Please pray that his sight be restored. We have faith. Thanks, Judy, for sharing that with us. And so,
amen. I've seen blinded eyes open.
Uh-huh. Well, amen. Yes.
God can do it.
He sure can. If anybody can do it, he can. Amen. So let's pray for those needs. And as she said, let's remember Roy also. So, here's your list.
Amen. You know, I think sometimes when we're going through something, you know, if we hear a testimony,
mm-hmm.
you know, that can build our faith. And so, mm-hmm. Judy's listening. You know, for Roy, it was over in Sarah, actually. I walked into a business, and I knew the lady that owned it, and I think it was her uncle was there, and the doctors had messed up both of his eyes, and he was totally blind for 9 years.
Mm.
And she said, would you pray for him? And I said, yeah. And so we prayed for him and laid hands on his eyes, and then about 30 seconds later, he's sitting there, and he says, hey, I see a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I see you're holding your hands up. And it just progressed, and all of a sudden he says, I see tables, I see chairs. And they were all different colors, and he starts calling out the, you know, and then he looked over across the room, and his wife was standing there talking to somebody, and he goes, hey, baby, I see you.
Oh, my goodness.
I see you. And I think all of us in that room just broke down. Mm-hmm. Fallen, but he had been totally blind for 9 years in both eyes.
Mm.
And God is a restorer,
mm-hmm.
of sight. And so, you know, sometimes hearing a testimony will just, you know, increase our faith. That,
right.
To know that if God can do it for others, he'll do it for us.
That's exactly right.
Amen. And so, amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the family of Rebecca Ramsey, Lord, who went to her final home last Friday. God, we just pray peace and comfort for the family, God, for the friends, and Father, those that are left behind, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we would find comfort in knowing that